Today we're going to be going through Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 through 42. Now, in this busy world, it is hard to be accessible. It's hard to be available to those around us. I was so thankful when earlier this week, just a few days ago, our cow gave birth to a wonderful baby calf. But through a whole set of circumstances, the cow became beached. She could not actually walk. And she had crawled out of her stall and into our paddock in the back, just outside of our stall, but with no covering. And so she was getting rained on. There was a terrible storm, and she was getting rained on, and the contour of the land was such that all the water came down to where she was. And it was a terrible scene, and the vet said, "You better get her out of there. This is not good for her. Get her back into dry, into the stable or into the stall where it's going to be dry for her." And so I was wondering, boy, is everyone going to be able to help? Because we needed help. She is a big cow, probably a good 900 pounds that we had to get from where she was to into the stall. And our oldest son, Seth, he's 20 years old, and he was working. And I was like, boy, is he going to be accessible? Is he going to be available to help us? Well, it turns out he got out of work. Sue sent him a text, and he came right over outside after work. And so there was Seth, our 20-year-old, Luke, our 18-year-old, Peter, our 14-year-old, and myself. And there we were, all four of us. And we went down. We did a football move as far as we just dug in with our legs and just pushed the cow. 1, 2, 3, push, pushed her an inch. 1, 2, 3, push, pushed her a couple inches. 1, 2, 3, push, pushed her another inch. And we finally nudged her back into the stall. And we were so grateful and so thankful. And Seth was accessible, and all the boys were accessible. And that was really awesome. Well, in today's passage, it reminds us that Jesus is accessible. He's accessible. And also we're reminded that we too need to be accessible as well. So background for this passage. Israel has defeated the bulk of the land of promise. They've divided the land between the 12 tribes. Special cities of refuge have been designated where people, these are places that people can run to for safety. And in this passage, the passage we're looking at today, the Levites are given cities / towns. Now remember that they do not get their own territory. They're the priestly tribe, so the Lord himself and the service of the Lord is their inheritance. But they are given cities, and these are cities that are in each of the 12 tribal areas. So each of the tribes is going to kick in and give them some cities. So as the priestly tribe, it's interesting, they'll have cities in all of the tribal areas. As the priestly tribe, they are accessible to all. Please stand. Let's pray for our understanding. And then we'll read the passage. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us to take it in, help us to understand it, and help us to respond and sort of live it out by your grace. Lord, I thank you for your word. It's so awesome. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to read here from Joshua chapter 21, and we'll read the first 8 verses of the chapter, and then we'll read a couple of verses later in the chapter as well. So verse 1, "Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, 'The Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their common lands for our livestock.' So the children of Israel gave to the Levites from their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their common lands. Now the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, had 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of Simeon, and from the tribe of Benjamin. The rest of the children of Kohath had 10 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. And the children of Gershon had 13 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, and from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The children of Merari, according to their families, had 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. And the children of Israel gave these cities with their common lands by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. And so the various cities then that are given by the various tribes, they're all given to the various lines of Levi. They're all listed here in the next number of verses. And then we'll skip down to verse 41. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their common lands. Every one of these cities had its common land surrounding it. Thus were all the cities. Please be seated. So a quick overview of this passage. The heads of the Levites, they approach the high priest, they approach Joshua, and they approach the tribal heads, and they say, "Give us our land as per God's command through Moses." God had commanded to Moses to give to the Levites various cities slash towns from the other tribal areas, from the rest of the tribes. Four groupings of Levites are listed as far as the giving of the cities. Now, there are three sons of Levi. And so these are the three branches or three lines, shall we say, of Levi. But there's four groupings here. One of the lines, Kohath, is split into two. In other words, the descendants of Kohath via Aaron, in other words, Aaron the high priest, that line of Aaron and that sort of high priestly line, they're given a set of cities from various tribes. And the remaining descendants of Kohath, they're responsible for the sanctuary as a whole. This is for the portable temple called the tabernacle, and then later the temple when it's built. So the remaining descendants of Kohath, they're given cities as well. And then a group number three is are the descendants of Gershon. They're responsible for the coverings in the tabernacle slash the temple. And then there's the fourth group, the descendants of Merari. They're responsible for the structure itself of the tabernacle and for the temple. And so when the tabernacle was being dismantled and then transported and then put together again, it would be these various lines of Levi that would have their various responsibilities. So the Levites, or the lines of Levi, they each receive cities. And it's interesting that the descendants of Aaron, that first group that's listed, the descendants of Aaron, they're given cities that are closest to Jerusalem. So they're the high priestly line of Levi, and they're given the cities that are closest. Now, this is all by lot. So it's interesting, by lot, you'd think it's random. And yet God's in charge of all of this. He's orchestrating everything. So the high priestly line are the ones closest to Jerusalem where the temple will be. Now, each of the 12 tribes gives an average of four cities for the Levites to dwell in. Judah gives more than four cities. Simeon and Naphtali give less than four cities. But there's an average of four per tribe. In fact, 12 tribes, there are 48 cities in all that are given. All of these 48 cities, the six cities of refuge are each cities that are given to Levi as well. So these are the ones designated in the last chapter, and they're the ones that people can run to if they've inadvertently, accidentally killed someone. They can run to these cities for justice and for protection, for a fair trial. So God's people are taking care of God's workers. That's what we see in chapter 21. God's people are wonderfully taking care of God's workers. And we also see that the Levites are being sprinkled throughout the nation of Israel. They are the priestly tribe. And so it's very significant that they're being sprinkled throughout Israel, and thus they're accessible to everybody. So it's very interesting. The grace of God also is accessible to everybody. So in the same way here, Jesus, our high priest, is accessible to all. As per Hebrews, he is our eternal high priest. He will never change. He represents God to us and us to God. He's our mediator. Christ is accessible to all. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. Christ is accessible to all. Whoever you are. No matter where you're from, no matter what your race is, no matter what your class is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your gender is, No matter what, Christ is accessible to all. Also, no matter what you've done, no matter how dark your background, no matter the mistakes you've made, no matter what you've done in your life, Christ is accessible to everybody. That doesn't give us license to do whatever we want to do. It means no matter what we've done, our sinful past, our sinful character, we can approach the Lord and He cleans us up and He forgives us and His grace is accessible to us. Christ is accessible to all. In addition, Christ is accessible at all times. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 21 and 22, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So let us draw near with a true heart. We have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. So it's interesting. Christ is accessible at all times. We can call upon Him at any time. We may be going through the deepest, darkest valley experience where we just don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen. There's uncertainty everywhere. Or there's something very intimidating going on in our lives. We're very intimidated. We can call upon Him at any time, no matter how deep the valley. On the flip side, no matter how wonderful the mountaintop, we may be going through a mountaintop experience. We can call upon Him at any time. He's accessible at all times. So in mountaintop experience, everything is going wonderfully. And there's a sense of God opening doors and closing doors and just working very sovereignly, giving us grace to do that which we need to do. And there's a sense of fruitfulness. And it's a wonderful time being on a mountaintop. But in those times, let's remember, let's not forget the Lord. Everything we have comes from Him. All the grace we have comes from Him. We need to be very thankful to Him. So we can call upon Him at any time, no matter how deep the valley, no matter how high the mountaintop or how wonderful the mountaintop experience, or in the context of the level road kind of experience, the mundane, ordinary life experiences. We can also approach Him. He's accessible at all times. So in the regular, ordinary, daily routine, we can approach Him. He's accessible at all times. That's very important to remember that in the 9 to 5, the Monday through Friday, and then at home, and He's accessible at all times. So we need His grace at all times. Or we may be going through a major fork in the road. It's not just a level road. There's forks in the road. There's decision points. There's small decisions or large decisions, big forks. And boy, we need Him. He's accessible at all times. We need His grace. And we can say, Lord, show me the path that's going to bring You the most glory. Open the door You want to open and close the doors You want to close. And just give me grace to choose the path or paths that give You the most glory. Help me to know what will please You. And so no matter what we're going through, valley experience, mountaintop experience, level road experience, fork in the road experience, Christ is accessible at all times. So we looked at how Christ is accessible to all and how Christ is accessible at all times. Now we're going to take a look at this whole area of priesthood. For we too are priests. All New Testament believers are priests, representing God to those around us and interceding to God on behalf of others. And so in some ways we serve in a priestly function. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter refers to the church, to all believers, as a holy priesthood and as a royal priesthood. So we're each priests. All believers are seen as priests and part of the priesthood. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says we've each been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. We're each in ministry. We're helping to reconcile people to the Lord and help people who know the Lord to be close with the Lord, encouraging one another on. So we're each priests. And as priests, as ministers, we too need to be accessible. We need to be available for others. We need to be available to those under our care. If we have a responsibility for them, like our kids, our spouse, people at work, possibly. But we also need to be accessible to those who are searching, just people, searching people who are around us. And they're lost people everywhere. and they're around us at all times. And as we're accessible, we can share a good word with them. Always be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within you. And each one of us have the privilege of being used by God as ministers, as priests. So let's be approachable. Let's care for others and care about others. Let's listen to others and let's help others when others have a time of when they're in need. I was so proud of this little flock as far as the way we helped Mary as she went through back surgery and the recovery of that. And we were all expecting 2 weeks in the rehab process as far as in a rehab center. And lo and behold, it was, 2 hours? And not even. And you were released within just a couple of days. I think you were released on a Saturday. And you had the surgery on Wednesday. And so there was a need for a lot of care, 24-hour care. And we've mentioned this before, but I was very proud of this little flock for the way we sort of rallied around the need that Mary had in a very practical way. And so each one of us were given opportunity to help. And so who knows at what time a cow could be beached and sitting there being rained on and it needs to be pushed back into the stall. So sometimes the areas of service, they might be dirty. In other words, it's time to get our hands dirty in certain ways. And we need to be willing to do that. It's like, well, no, I'm a princess, or I'm a prince. I don't get dirty. And it's like, well, no, God wants us to at times get dirty, get in the mud a little bit and push the cow. And so again, whether it's a cow or whether it's a cow-like need that's presented to you, cow is just an analogy, some kind of need and someone's really going through a tough time. Let's say someone's wrestling with, you know, they're back on the bottle, or they're wrestling with some kind of, you know, rehab need and they're struggling and or whatever. In some ways, it's dirty business getting involved. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be those who pray for others. We're there for others. We encourage others, maybe confront them. And we're there to serve as priests, to serve as ministers. So sometimes it's dirty business. And that's part of what it means to be a priest and a minister, accessible to everyone around us. So let's steer clear of those things that undermine our approachability, things that make it so we're not approachable priests, we're not approachable ministers. We need to steer clear of those things. Let's not be like the priest or the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan, who were either too busy or too unconcerned or too repulsed are too off track regarding their understanding of the Jewish law, and thus who fail to stop and help the hurting man. Remember, it was the Good Samaritan who stopped and actually helped the man. And he was from Samaria. He was seen as a half-breed and a not a good guy. From a compromising strand of what used to be Judaism, he wasn't a purebred from the Jewish perspective at the time. But he was the one who stopped and helped the hurting man in practical ways. So let's not be like the priest or the Levite in Jesus' story. Maybe they had to be at the temple at a certain time, and they had to do all their duties. And those are things, whatever God has us do, we're supposed to do them. But sometimes it's just like there's an airplane and there's gravity, but there's also the law of lift, a higher law that supersedes gravity. And so sometimes if there's a need that we come across, we're walking along the road, we're looking to do our tasks and get to wherever we're going to go, and yet there's someone by the side of the road in deep need and they need help, then we can stop and help them. Maybe we can give that cell phone call to the people we need to say, hey, I'm going to be late. I need to do something else at this time. But the bottom line is God wants to use us to meet the needs of those around us. So let's not be so busy that we're failing to stop and help a hurting person. Let's not give ourselves to cliques and close ourselves off from others who may be struggling. And if we are fostering a cliquish kind of behavior, that all the more causes those who are struggling to feel rejected and to not have sort of the grace given to them or the grace sort of expressed to them. So let's be careful that we're not being cliquey or just hanging around those that we're either like, or we like them, or they like us, or whatever. Let's be those who are really approachable by anyone and everyone. And there are times to put barriers up. Let's say there's an unhealthy relationship, manipulation or something unhealthy, something just weird or whatever. There's times to say, I'm going to have to put a barrier up here, not because I don't want to be approached, but I need to put a barrier up because this is an unhealthy relationship at this time. And so there's a time to do that. It's a painful time, but you do it also out of love, so that the person hopefully learns a lesson. So let's not give ourselves to cliques and close ourselves off. Let's be very approachable. Let's not wallow in our hurts so much, like poor Mocha was wallowing there in the mud. But let's not wallow in our hurts so much that we fail to recognize the needs of those around us. Let's seek the Lord for healing. Let's say, Lord, please get me up. Some people want to be hurt, and they want to be a victim. And it's like, why do you want to be a victim? Why don't you just live life wonderfully and victoriously? That doesn't mean bad things don't happen, but sometimes people want to be a victim. A victim ends up being a very powerful person. As a victim says, I'm so hurting and I've been wronged by everyone, and they rally people around them. And it's like, let's be careful on that. Let's get well, and let's seek the Lord, the ultimate physician, and really be open to being made whole again. It takes responsibility to be whole, and it takes selflessness, because then we need to think about other people, not just ourselves, our past, our hurts, our disappointments. So let's not wallow in our hurts so much that we fail to recognize those around us. But when we're hurting, we can hurt, and we have permission to do that, and others need to come alongside us at that time. But let's not wallow in those hurts so long or long term in such a way where God wants to bring healing, but we're unwilling to be healed. So let's steer clear of all those things that undermine our approachability. Let's not be so self-consumed that we're blinded to the needs of those around us. So let's be careful when we have hobbies and other kinds of things that we love to do, and yet we're so consumed with all the things we love to do that potentially we're not there for an obvious need and to meet an obvious need. So let's be very approachable. Sue and I have had a practice of having a date night once a week, and we've done this since courting days. And so sometimes it's hard, especially I do a lot of nighttime work now, so it's been hard to carve out some of that time. We have to sometimes move it to like a lunch or something like that. But we still try to do a date night or a date once a week. And it's a way to be approachable. I've got a very busy schedule, and Sue has a very busy schedule. And so for us, the two ships, instead of two ships like passing in the night and or not even seeing each other, then it's important to have a time at least once a week where you're able to sit down with each other and say, how you doing, honey? And I'm all ears. I am listening to you. And here's something on my heart I wanted to say. And it's really, really helpful. Now, for anyone, any guy who's saying, yeah, but that's expensive, it's like, well, it's well worth it. And usually the lady involved doesn't really care too much about how fancy it is. It's always nice to have a fancy dinner, but often they really don't care. They'd rather have your time. And so even if it's for us, Chipotle, on a regular basis, it's Chipotle. And we love Chipotle. And that's where we have these awesome date nights, as far as that's where we hang out. And then we might take a walk or go watch a movie or something like that, as far as something at home or whatever. And we just have a wonderful time. So that's a way to be approachable in the midst of a very busy life that maybe you also have a busy life as well. So I'd encourage something like that. I try to have regular sit-downs with my boys. And especially they're all teenagers and or getting out of their teens now. One's 20 years old. And so as long as they're in the house, I realize, boy, they're so busy also. They're just like me. And we're all busy. But it's important to have some kind of regular face-to-face. So we have a time, and we haven't been super regular at this, but it's been a general pattern where were able to sit down and have each one sit down with me, and we just hang out. And I just say, okay, is there any way I could pray for you? And what's coming up in your life? And here's just some thoughts as far as maybe some things to consider. And so it's just a little way to connect. And so it's a way to be approachable. So they know that time is available. So if there is something that they want to ask, like, can we get an Xbox? And can we do this or can we do that? They know there's a time they can get my attention. A regular sit-down has been a helpful thing for me. As far as if you have a busy life, find creative ways to connect with those you love and those who are under your care. Chuck Smith, pastor of the original Calvary Chapel, the first Calvary Chapel, he was very approachable. He was always there after a service, and he had a 20,000-person church, but he was always there after a service, and there could be a long line or a short line, but he'd be there for people who wanted to talk with him. He was very approachable and a very wonderful guy. I had a little chat with him once. It was just a wonderful chat. He's just a really personable guy. He was a personable guy. Passed away a number of years back, but really good, good example to many. Pastor Chuck, the other pastors call him. And so he's always approachable. And so each one of us, let's do our part to be approachable in different ways. I think there's things I could do to be better approachable in the context of the church here, but I try to be the last one to leave or close to the last one to leave. Robert's, he's a fellowship guy, just like I am, so we're often, who's going to be the last to leave? And we love to hang out. Wednesday nights, we try to be available. And more as the church gets more established, I don't do as much outside work. I'll be more available during the week. But the reality is it's just hard to find time blocks during the week. But we always have at least Sunday and Wednesday when we start up again next month as far as our midweek Bible study. And at least that's something. And we'll grow in that area. And I'm looking to grow in that area as far as being more approachable, more available. So each one of us, whatever our situation is in life, let's do our part to say, Lord, how can I become more available? And what kinds of things would you have me do? Someone could say, well, I'm just going to start coming really early on Sunday morning. And I'm going to say, is there anything you need me to do? Or maybe someone will come through the door and you can tell they need some prayer or they need some encouragement. I'm going to be there for them. Or I'm going to stay a little longer after the service that I normally do. Or I'm going to invite somebody to the midweek Bible study. And I want to make sure that the grace of God is available to them and they experience that or give an opportunity to experience that. Or maybe there's a friend who, boy, I really need to be disciplined in a long-distance friendship or something, and I really need to be disciplined in writing either emails or cards or whatever. And however God works in our lives, but something in the home, God really desires that we have a home that's bringing Him glory. And so if there's anything we can do to be approachable, accessible, and sometimes it's like, well, this isn't a good time to talk. Like, ladies, maybe you've discovered when the guy comes home from work and he's tired and he wants to sort of like slump down on the couch, that's not the time to ask him about all the things that you want him to do around the house or other kinds of things. Usually it's not the time. But it may be a date night when he's got energy and time. You can say, honey, I would love it if we could really tackle these things around the house. And then you've got his time. It's perfect timing. So don't get him when he's hungry and don't get him when he's super tired. And so just get him at the right time. Pray for the right timing. Esther prayed for the right timing and others in Scripture pray for the right timing. So pray for that right timing of approaching him. So in this way, let's be like Christ. He's accessible to all. He's accessible at all times. Let's also be accessible. So personal application or sort of final thoughts. Have you responded to God's offer of grace? Have you responded to his accessibility? And if you haven't, do it. In other words, if you haven't really surrendered to the Lord, do that. And do you approach him every day? Are you experiencing him and his accessibility every day? You might say, well, how can I do it every day? Well, in one way, it's just quiet time. Well, it's 5 minutes of quiet time or 10 minutes of quiet time. just a time where you read a portion of Scripture and you're praying for the day and praying for anything else on your heart. A little quiet time. Scripture also says pray without ceasing. So there's a sense of access to the Lord that we can experience just as we're driving and as we're going about our business. There's a connection. We're connected to the vine. We're the branches, and He's the vine. And so this whole idea of praying without ceasing, or what we call flare prayers. There's something big happening, and it's like, whoa, I got to send a flare up. And just right away, there's a major thing. And it might be, I can't excuse myself. There's a meeting at work. I can't excuse myself. But I can say, Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your grace. I need your strength. Help me with this meeting that I'm about to walk into. I just discovered someone's coming that I didn't expect to be there. It's like it's going to add a whole dynamic to this meeting. Lord, I need your help. It's a flare prayer. And so do you approach him every day? Is anything preventing you from approaching him? Any nagging guilt, or you feel like there's a higher priority of using your time doing other things instead of approaching him? And it's fine to have hobbies and that kind of thing, but let's make sure our hobbies are not crowding out our access to the Lord. So are you approaching him every day? And are you approachable? Like a good priest or a good minister, are you approachable? Do your kids know that they can come to you? Does your spouse feel connected to you? Are you available for others to approach? And are you cultivating a listening ear? Are you willing to help, willing to stop and see someone who's by the side of the road who needs help desperately, and you sense the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to help that person. Get your hands a little bit dirty. And are you willing to do that? So each one of us need to be confronted by the Holy Spirit in that way. Those kinds of questions are good for each one of us, myself included. Let's be those who are like Christ, and we are wonderfully effective priests and ministers, accessible to those around us. It's a very hurting world, and we need to be accessible. Father, I thank you for this time in your word, and I do pray that you would help us to remove anything that keeps us from connecting with you. We know it's not you withdrawing, but we know that your offer of grace is there for us, and we can draw near to you. But I pray, Lord, that if there's anything blocking us from doing that, I pray that we'd repent of anything we've given ourselves to that is robbing you of glory. And I pray that we would make changes in our lives. If there's anything that really needs to be changed, maybe not a deep sin, but some kind of change of priorities or a change in our lives. Lord, we want to access you on a regular basis, an ongoing basis. And I pray, Lord, that in the same way that we'd be approachable by our loved ones and by those around us, Lord, that we wouldn't be self-consumed or distracted. Lord, help us to be all about doing your business and bringing you glory in our lives. We pray that you would continue to cause us to grow and to become more selfless. And I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful fruit we've seen in this little flock. And I pray that you would cause that to even grow. I just thank you, Lord, for the seeds that are there and the wonderful things that you are doing and will do through us as a fellowship. Lord, we just want to be about your business. We want to be available to serve you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.